RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
As I watched these games, I said, it's okay. Worry not, AJ, because tonight's going to bring you back in. Sunday Night Football, the game comes on, and holy crap, was it unwatchable. I sat there in bed and I told my wife, I'm so done with football right now. I was going to tell her, good news, babe, I'm not watching Monday Night Football. And then I remembered, it's the one mother bleeping game that I have to watch for my job is the Texans game.
Get a lot of questions about this. Tom Herman to Texas is a done deal at the end of the season. I will believe it's a done deal at the end of the season. It was also reported it was a done deal. He was going to Georgia last year. Do I think it's a realistic possibility? Yes. Maybe you want to pump the brakes a little bit until his team starts playing a little better. A one-year body of work can be very dangerous. If you've watched those last three games, they've been unprepared. They've been outcoached. You lost to a team with a pink My Little Pony on the side of its helmet.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. Hour number three, 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you are good to go. There's also Twitter at Fred Fowler, at AJ is the real, at Jon Snow with a zero, not an O, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And if you missed the first 2 hours, all available at podcastarena.com. Lots of good stuff, not just what you heard there.
All right, so what's the deal with you and The Walking Dead? Are you going to give this another shot, or are you fully done with it?
Well, I read the review of last night, which got me mildly interested. My plan now is I'm going to give it three episodes. And if after three episodes you say it's worth it, I'll jump back in and start with episode one here.
Okay. So you're recording them just in case?
No, I'll just get them on demand.
Oh, on demand, yeah.
Yeah, it's okay. Pretty easy. So, I did read the review of what happened last night, so I know what happened. If you wish to discuss it with the people, I know a lot of them would like to hear it.
Yeah, I don't know if it's... I don't want to be a spoiler, so I'm not sure how to handle it.
It's kind of different with these Sunday night things during football season. A lot of people don't get a chance to watch them.
And a lot of people...
Because they might have been watching that 6-6 thriller.
They're going to bed. Yeah. So, which is... You know, I wish I would have just watched The Walking Dead going to bed. Instead, I watched that game and then watched the freaking Walking Dead. But I did find the show enjoyable. I guess I'll just go ahead and say this now. Turn it down if you've got a if you haven't seen the episode.
That includes you, John.
Yeah. So the episode, I had been saying, if they don't kill a major character after all this buildup, if it's like some scrubby guy, I'm done with them. And first of all, there was like a 15-minute buildup to who was going to die on The Walking Dead, even though we had
a whole season,
several months to let it marinate. Then they chose Abraham, the big redhead guy with the bad facial hair, and he gets hit, whacked in the head with a bat, and then he looks at the guy and says, "Suck my nuts," which really, that's the best line they could come up with for him. Either way, the guy continues to beat him in the head until his head is a big pile of goo. And in my opinion, even though he's been on the show for several seasons, Abraham's not a major player. So I said, you know what? This is stupid. I told my wife, this is so dumb. I want to be out on this show. The only reason I still watch it is because you like it. I don't want to watch it anymore. Well, then Daryl gets up and punches Negan in the face. And he said there was going to be none of that tolerated. So he went to go kill someone else, and he chose Glenn. And Glenn is a major player. He's an OG cast member.
One of the last, really.
Yeah. And I said, you know what? That's what this show needed. And then the best part of the whole show was he drew a line on Carl's arm with a marker and was going to make Rick chop his arm off with an axe, or he was going to kill everyone there. And right when Rick was about to do it, Negan stopped him, and I was kind of disappointed. I would have liked to see Carl with one arm.
Any mauling you can do to Carl is a good thing.
Yeah, it would have been nice. But yeah,
one arm, one eye, whatever.
Overall, pretty successful show, I say. It wasn't bad.
Okay.
Because they did do what I asked them to do, and that was kill a major player.
Yeah, I just...
Jong, you're safe.
Yeah, you can turn your... You're good now.
You're clear.
Oh, thank you.
I know Jong took that as a chance for him to go in there and eat.
Right. Well, I'm gonna give it three episodes, and you, after listening to you talk about them for three episodes, if you're still in on it, then I will give it a try.
All right.
Mainly because so many people ask me about it, and they want to talk about it, and I want to give the people what they want, but I also don't want to waste any more of my life on that thing either if I don't have to. So yeah, it's a tough balance sometimes giving the people what they want. 713-780-ESPN. I thought this is an interesting conversation. Interesting conversation. When it rained, you get into quarterback conversation with B.J. Simmons. Some of the Twitter stuff there where he's talking about the difference between college and pro quarterbacks that you guys are going back and forth on. And I guess somebody asked about the difference. It sounds simple, but it makes a huge difference where he says college O is all pre-snap reads. Pro offense requires post-snap reads and wide receiver route adjustments. And that's...
And you're getting less quarterbacks getting to the NFL who can do that.
Right, because if you're a college coach, it's not your job to get a guy ready for the NFL. It's your job to win football games.
Yeah, well, and this is... I went to lunch last week with B.J. Simmons. That's who is talking about with us on Twitter. And that's what he said. And I said, but I bet you when you sat down and you were being recruited... That same coach who now his only job is to win college football games told you he would get you ready for the NFL. And that's what all college coaches tell the players is, I'll get you ready for the NFL. And that's, you know, that's part of why they pick the schools that they pick. But then once that decision's made, then suddenly, well, he doesn't owe you anything about getting you ready for the NFL. But I guarantee, and BJ said that he got promised that same thing. And did Mike Leach do anything to prepare his quarterbacks for the NFL? Probably not. But... I mean, a couple of them made it. A couple of them had their cup of coffee.
But then that's the thing. It's on the pro coaches when they get there to get them ready. Jared Goff had ran the same offense and went number one overall.
Never took a snap from under center and was a top pick in the draft. But
is that really going to make that big of a difference? If you're drafting a guy that high, and I like what the Rams are doing by making him sit and learn.
Even though it's painful to watch at times.
It is painful to watch Case Keenum throw those ducks like he did yesterday. And yeah, that's the thing. He plays just well enough to make you think at times, hey, he can be a good quarterback. Then he has a game like that he essentially lost for him. But the reality is, if you can do that, you can have a guy fill in. And Jared Goff learns those things while he's there. He learns the techniques you want, not what he was taught in college. And I think that's better long term. The problem is these guys just can't be patient enough.
Yeah.
If you draft a guy that high, hell, Philadelphia, we're going to let Carson Wentz sit this year. No, first round pick for Bradford. Okay.
Yep.
Good. Go on
Changed
in there.
Our mind.
Yep. Go on in there. And, you know, and those guys are learning on the fly, so it's a little painful. But I don't think, in my mind, like all of Art Briles' quarterbacks, well, they weren't really, I mean, they were in a system that made them look better than they were. I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. Now, whether or not it makes you an NFL quarterback, I think an NFL quarterback can come from anywhere. It's just got to be a guy who winds up fitting the team he goes to. Who learns fast and, you know, hey, it can work. It's just there's so many different things to it. I don't think a coach owes it to anybody to try to get them ready. And that whole debate came up with Urban Meyer and Tim Tebow. It's like, well, he didn't do anything to really help Tebow get ready for the NFL. Well, it wasn't his job. His job was to win national championships at Florida.
Yeah.
And if Tim Tebow's good enough, he's going to get a job in the NFL. That's my opinion. 713-780-ESPN. Couple of... other TV things, just real quick. So he says Ash versus Evil Dead is more entertaining than Walking Dead now. I'm one behind on that. Saturday was the premiere of Dirk Gently's Holistic Detective Agency on BBC America, which is one of my favorite books ever written by Douglas Adams. First one, it was a little weird. But the book's weird, so it's supposed to be weird. But Elijah Wood is one of the stars in it. And I'm going to watch a few more just because I love that book. But I kind of got the feeling it's like, boy, they really could screw this up. So And Westworld last night, kind of another one that just sort of slowly, gently moved the story together, story along until about the last 5 minutes. And then it really set up for something big, I think. So you probably haven't gotten to that one yet.
Have you seen ticket prices for the World Series games? Not so much in Cleveland, but Game 3 in Chicago?
No, I wasn't looking to go to any of them, so I didn't really look them up.
There may be records set for ticket prices. And, I mean, obviously it's, you know, you can't buy tickets from the venue anymore. Like, there was a lottery system for every playoff game for Cubs fans, you know, where they all put their name in a hat, and if you were drawn, you had the privilege of buying their tickets. But there are tickets going now, and again, this is for Game 3. The games in Cleveland, I'm guessing, are going to be significantly cheaper. But there are tickets going for nearly $1 million.
That's just stupid.
For a ticket to a baseball game.
That is just stupid.
All right, the cheapest ticket you can get on StubHub today is a standing room only ticket for $1,875.
For Game 3?
For Game 3, which, by the way, it may be completely over by then, by Game 3. You might be down 2-0 and just... But for Cubs fan is a weird bunch who are... It's gotten where, like, you know, even if they don't win, they don't care. They at least got to be there. That's all that matters to them.
Well, I know it's the first time, and they haven't won it since 1908 and all that stuff. I get all that. But have you looked at this team? You're going to be good for a while. This isn't a fluke that they got to the series. You're going to make some more World Series under this group. Having said that, I don't know who I'm rooting for, because, you know, Cleveland just won a championship. And I kind of feel like maybe it's time for the Cubs. And I do think that they're the best overall team, but I think Cleveland has better pitching, especially in that bullpen.
I think that this ticket that's $996,000,
yeah,
I think that's kind of an outlier.
Okay.
But there are several, like, infield terrace, like box seats, that are going for over $100,000. Hmm. So that's not out of the ordinary. There's some, these are pretty solid seats that are, you know, maybe 22 rows up behind the dugout, $420,000. You know, they are excited to be there. But you know what? To be fair, this is a fan base that's been waiting a long time.
Yeah.
And while you say you might be good for a long time, who knows if you're going to be good enough to get back?
I think they will be. I mean, they got so many great young players on there that they've drafted in the last few years, including ones that Astros could have drafted.
Yeah.
But that Mark Appel over Chris Bryant, better and better every year, doesn't it? But no, I really think
Mark Appel helped land you Ken Giles, so there's that.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Ken Giles greater than Chris Bryant, right? We just talked about how important relief pitching is.
Crickets. Yeah, part of me kind of wants the Cubs to lose, because that's the identity of Cub fan, is always so close, and then to have it snatched away, the whole Charlie Brown thing. But I also think they have the best team, so... All right, we're going to take a...
I still think they're going to lose.
Yeah, I kind of think you might be right. I don't know how much this layoff's going to affect the Indians, but, man, you look at the bats they've shut down here in two series with the Red Sox and the Jays. I think they're going to be very tough. All right, quick break. We'll get your phone calls next. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Howdy, Houston. Dave South here. Sports!
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN's your number. We'll get some phone calls in this segment. Lamont said, what makes me upset if... Herman leaves, Ed Oliver will get lost in the muck. I don't think so. I have to say, I have a lot of faith in them being able to go out and get a good coach. They've got money to spend. If it happens, and I think it probably will, but if it does, they're going to go out and get. They've got a really good track record there, going back 15 years now. And even Tony Levine did not do a bad job. He recruited like a fiend. There's a lot of 3 and 4 stars on that roster that came from him recruiting. So at the time, they wanted to stay in-house, and I think it made some sense for some continuity. Might have gone with Cliff Kingsbury, but I think they will get a really good coach. I'm not too worried about that, and I think those players will be fine. And they'll spend money on assistants, too. I believe they're committed to continuing and doing that, whether he leaves or not. All right, let's squeeze in some phone calls. We start with Alan. What's up, Alan?
Hey, guys. Hey, listen. From where I see it at, I think that Brady's going to spot everybody. Oh, the commissioner's going to make him spot everybody 4 games. I think he's going to end up with the MVP trophy. Not only the MVP trophy, I think they're going to run the table, and I think that they're going to end up. He's going to end up with 2 trophies, holding them up: the MVP trophy and the Super Bowl trophy. And it's going to be a slap in Goodell's face. And really, it's nothing anybody going to be able to do about it. I'm going to hang up and listen.
Yeah, I don't think. I didn't think at the beginning of the year that Brady could win the MVP, but we're through, what, 7 weeks now?
Yeah, week 7.
Who's the front runner for the NFL MVP?
I think there's a whole bunch of people. There's just a box of people that I think could be good enough down the stretch.
Julio Jones?
Maybe Julio Jones. I honestly think you could argue for Matt Stafford.
And yeah, depending on what they do, Phillip Rivers, I think you could make an argument for, you know, either of the Cowboys rookies to be in that conversation at some point. I mean, I think it's completely wide open. And oh yeah, Tom Brady's in that conversation.
Yeah,
I think
he's got to be in the conversation because there's nobody who's running away with it. You know, to make you say, it couldn't be anybody but this guy. There isn't that guy. Aaron Rodgers and Cam Newton both play on raggedy looking teams.
I mean, neither one of them's playing.
Neither one of them have been that good. I think that it's still wide open, and I'll say, yeah, it wouldn't shock me if somehow Tom Brady is in that discussion.
I think if he hadn't sat out this week, I'd be talking about LeSean McCoy.
Yeah.
He's playing real well. So,
but it all depends. Like, if your team doesn't make the playoffs, we've talked about this before, it's a struggle.
Yeah.
And do we really believe the Bills are going to make the playoffs? I mean, I think maybe.
If he had been healthy, I think they win that game.
Do we really think the Lions are going to make the playoffs? I mean, they're possible now, but there's so much that can happen between now and them. It's hard to name anybody.
And I know they just lost, but I think Matt Ryan's having a hell of a year.
Yeah.
I think Von Miller is a name that you might want to keep an eye on. I just think it's too wide open, but I could see it. And I don't think the Patriots are going to lose any games. I really don't. I think they're going to run the table, and I think they're going to want to stick it to Goodell. And I think for once, even people who hate the Patriots will love to see. They hate Goodell more. They'll love that. Let's try Robert. What's up, Robert?
Got it.
Hey, sports.
Hey, can you guys hear me?
Yep.
So, I'd actually like to get your opinion on the Chargers. I know that everybody laughs at the 3-4 record now, but the games they've lost have been really, really close, and they're a high-producing offense, and their defense is really stepping up. I mean, last night against Atlanta, we saw them shut down Matt Ryan and Julio Jones pretty well in the second half, only 3 points in the second half period. And I think San Diego might have what it takes to go a distance if they can get this injury bug under control.
Well, and this is what we talked about earlier in the show, is the problem with San Diego is they're still in last place, and they play in the best division in football. So while I agree with you, San Diego is good, the hole that they've dug may be too much at this point to make the playoffs.
Although, the one thing I would say, they haven't had a game yet where they didn't have a chance to win in the fourth quarter. That's a good sign. They're starting to win those games. And as much as I think the guy's dumber than a barrel of hair, Joey Bosa's made a difference on that defense.
He has been very good.
And since they've gotten him, they've started closing out games. And I think that's, you know, I think that's definitely a team to watch. That is the one team that's sitting 3-4 that I could see going on a tear And maybe the Colts, but more so the Chargers, because I think they're a pretty damn good football team that had some bad luck early and is starting to figure it out and get better. All right, let's try one more. John. What's up, John?
Hey, what's going on? Sports.
Sports to you.
Hey, no love for Ezekiel Elliott. Maybe he's the MVP. Leading the league in rushing.
Yeah, you could make an argument for him. I think I've said before, I think he's got rookie of the year in the bag. Will a bunch of sports writers vote for a rookie as the MVP?
Maybe not.
But I do think that he's, right now at least, the runaway winner of the Rookie of the Year award. Unless it's his teammate.
I had a serious question for you guys. I don't want to hold up your time and take up the whole segment, but what I want to ask, what does this night tonight mean for Houston? It may not mean nothing because it's one game. But the reason why I ask, somebody on TV earlier said the only two losses six and a half is New England and Minnesota. So if they actually somehow find a way to beat Denver in Denver tonight on TV, does that mean something for us? Or is it just y'all got them tonight because y'all had a good game and let's see you get whooped next week?
I think it depends on how they look tonight. I mean, if they win a game like they won against the Colts or they won against the Titans where it's just horrible football and they happen to be the better of two crappy teams that any given night, I don't know if it's going to change my opinion. But if they go out there and actually win a competitive game where they play good football, it may change my mind.
See, I have a different opinion on it because my standards are much lower than yours. I don't care if they win a crappy game. I want to see them actually go on the road and be competitive.
This would be an impressive win if they're able to get it.
Right. Even if they win it the same way they did against the Colts, I'm okay with that. Because I just want to actually see them be competitive against a good team on the road, which the only two times they ventured out there, we've seen what happened. They got their you-know-whats chopped off. And I want to see them go in there and actually get a lead and play the kind of complimentary football that Bill O'Brien always talks about. Run the ball a lot, even if they don't run it effectively. Run the ball a lot, short passes. Don't get behind where Osweiler has to throw it downfield, where he gets sacked and intercepted, and the game gets out of hand. That's what's happened the first two times. I don't want to see that. I want to see them be competitive. And you know, even if they play like crap and it's 14-14 in the fourth quarter and they wind up losing on a late field goal, I'll feel like that's a much better performance. So my standards are pretty low. I just want to see them not get their asses blown out again. That's what I'm looking for. And that would show a step forward because so far, they've been overmatched both times they've gotten in this situation. Is that fair?
Yeah.
409 says, NFC East is the best division in football. All four have winning records, not AFC West. Winning record doesn't necessarily mean you're a better team.
No.
And especially when we're talking 4-3. Come on, man.
Yeah, are the 4-3 Giants definitely better than the 3-4 Chargers? No.
I don't think they are. I'm not sure there's any team in that division that I could say on a neutral field I'd take over the Chargers right now. Maybe the Eagles, maybe the Cowboys. But if the Chargers played the Redskins right now, I think they'd house them. We're talking about the fourth best team in the AFC West right now. So, yeah, I think the NFC East is good, but I think the AFC West is by far.
Yeah. The NFC East is second on my list of best division.
There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing to be embarrassed by. Just means you're not better than another division.
Who do you have third? NFC North?
Why the Bears are so bad, though.
Yeah.
You know, they kind of bring the whole thing down. I still want to say the AFC West, but I think I'm, again, the 49ers bring that down. Yeah, I guess it's got to be NFC North.
Yeah.
Maybe the AFC West. North.
Maybe the NFC West I like better than the NFC North because even though they both have one crappy team, the NFC West, I feel, has two Super Bowl contenders. And I don't know if I'd say that.
Maybe
about the
three.
NFC North.
Maybe three.
You think the Rams are a contender?
Oh, not such at AFC West. Sorry.
Oh no, I'm talking about the NFC West over the NFC North. Because I feel like the Seahawks and the Cardinals are both still Super Bowl contenders. I don't know.
I'm losing faith in the Cardinals, though.
Maybe the Vikings are a Super Bowl contender. Beyond them, I don't feel good about the Packers or the Lions. For as far as that,
I just look at that Cardinals team, and they don't look like the same team as last year.
No.
To me, they really don't. They look like they've taken a big step back. All right, we are going to take a very quick break. Don't go anywhere. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Voted rate rules.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
To all the teachers that told me I never amount to nothing. To all the people that lived above the buildings that I was hustling for and that called the police on me when I was just trying to make some money to feed my daughter.
Yeah.
To all my peoples in the struggle, you know what I'm saying? It's all good, baby, baby.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN if you want to get in. A.K.A. just asking through week seven, who is your MVP? We just spent the entire last segment on that. So, podcastarena.com. The set says, I think once Detroit gets some of their injured defense back, they can do something with the way Stafford is playing. That's a team that I'm keeping an eye on. I like the way their offense is playing. I wonder if they have enough on defense. But they're not bad. And they're probably getting, you're going to get some free wins in that division with the Bears being in there. And I also think the Packers are very vulnerable. And hell, I think they can come in here next week and beat the Texans the way their offense is playing.
Yeah.
We shall see. The one thing about tonight that I wanted to get to real quickly, because we haven't had a chance to yet, I think what will keep the Texans in the game is if they can get after Trevor Siemian, if they can defensively get some pressure on him and maybe force a turnover to short field for the offense. All the things that the Broncos usually do to other teams. I think that's what they have to do. And I think their defense can be effective because that Broncos offensive line isn't very good. But the one thing they have to do, they got to stop the run. Got to stop the run. And they have not been good against the run this year. So if they can do that, because if Denver starts running the ball, that play action is going to work because I do think they've got the receivers who can get open against that secondary. Boy, they're just showing these guys boinking short field goals again.
Yeah. Hey, totally unrelated to football. Rockets look like they finalized their roster.
Yeah.
They released Gary Payton II. Who, I mean, he hadn't played a lot in the preseason. And I would have thought, well, you know, maybe he can see more time with Patrick Beverley getting hurt, but that didn't happen. So they're taking over a $500,000 cap hit, and they're willing to walk away from him. You know, things weren't going great for him. They waived P.J. Hairston and LeBrian Nash. No surprise. Both will be in Rio Grande Valley now. And this is maybe a surprise to me. Tyler Ennis, the last player dropped from the roster, which means they chose to keep Bobby Brown over him, which I would say is a surprise because that's a $1.7 million cap hit to cut Tyler Ennis, who I actually liked the pick of Tyler Ennis. I thought that was a guy that maybe they had some there was some potential with. But
that's what they traded Beasley for, right?
Yeah. So you're down to your final 15. They've got them all set.
And Brown is the one who got in trouble for writing on the Great Wall.
Yes.
Wonderful. Reading a lot of the national media, there's some buzz running around about what Mike D'Antoni can do with James Harden. And I've seen a lot of people over the last few days with very high hopes for the Rockets.
Yeah.
And I kind of went through some sites just to see what other people are saying about them. There's a lot of people who I respect that are very high on this team. I need to see it first because I didn't like the coaching hire. I'm not crazy about the makeup of this roster because they're not going to play any defense. But there's a lot of people who know a lot more about it than I do that think this is going to be a perfect marriage. We'll see.
When did the game start, the regular season game?
It's Wednesday, right?
Okay.
Isn't the opener Wednesday? John, you should know that. You've got the Rockets underwear on.
No, I have no idea. I've gotten a little jaded in sports.
In all sports?
What the hell?
Yeah, especially NBA.
Guys, we do a sports show. We all can't be jaded about every freaking sport.
I don't know.
What the hell?
I kind of felt the same way about football this weekend with, like, AJ. You know, I sat around and watched four games. I'm like, man, this kind of sucks. Yeah. And then I ended up, you know, switching back and forth between the U of H game and Penn State and Ohio State. I was kind of like, man, this game's boring. and I switch it off. And of course I find out, you know, the next day that Penn State blocked the field goal and returned it for a touchdown to win.
Guys, boring football is like boring sex. It's still sex. It's better than the alternative.
Yeah.
Great. I don't know what I'm going to do with you guys. You're lost. You're lost souls.
I don't know. Sports just not a priority anymore. We're going to have to make the show about something other than sports.
Don't we usually do that?
Yeah.
And then I woke up Sunday morning and I was like, hey, there's football on. It's the Rams and the Giants. And they turn it on. I'm like, I don't want to watch this.
Yeah.
I did flip on the commercials because Outlaw Josie Wales was on at the same time.
It's a good one.
I have to watch that every time it's on, right?
Of course.
So I did go back and forth, but I did watch a game. I wound up, although by then I was already kind of, I was footballed out and I was feeling like crap because of the, you know, just the awful betting weekend I had. And I was, it wasn't football that put me in a bad mood. It was losing that put me in a bad mood. And it just kind of ruined my entire day.
I can see that.
It happens. I should have never let the comments get to me. It won't happen again. I'm just going to ignore them.
Good for you.
But it did piss me off. and I got better things to do than to get all upset over the fact that somebody's giving me crap over free picks that they don't have to bet. And they probably didn't. Most of them can't afford to. What did you think of Auburn Saturday? I thought Auburn was very impressive.
Very.
I didn't see that coming. And they stepped on them early and just kept stepping on them. So that's obviously an improving team. And I think they're a better team now than when they played Aggie. But, 713-780-ESPN if you want to get in. 713-780-3776. Couple of Dark Horse MVP James Harden picks.
Yeah, listen, I don't think the Rockets are going to be good enough to warrant that conversation at the end of the year. I do think that James Harden warrants a very high pick in fantasy basketball.
Like, yeah, I think he and Russell Westbrook might be...
Probably one and two.
One and two.
I mean, it's hard
because
to say.
Because for fantasy purposes, those guys are going to have to be the entire offense, really.
I mean, it's hard to leave out guys like Steph Curry and LeBron James, but
they've got
they have other good players on their team, and the Rockets and the Thunder don't. So, Karl Anthony Towns may be another good guy. But
what do you do with Anthony Davis this year?
It sucks because you know he's going to be good from a fantasy standpoint, even if he's not good in real life, but he's going to miss time.
Yeah.
So he's probably a second rounder to me.
What about Andrew Wiggins?
Boy, he's moving up.
No wonder we're talking fantasy basketball. You just sent me my league invite.
Yeah, people are busting my balls. I've been slacking. Or I've gotten three texts during the show. Are you sending out the fantasy basketball invite today?
I think I went from first to worst last year because I won 2 years ago. And last year, I think I had one of the worst teams in the league. It was brutal. Oh, I think we're playing each other in hockey this weekend.
We are.
I just put up a ridiculous amount of points.
I keep forgetting to set my hockey team. I'm disenchanted with it.
See, I'm going
to
remind you all week
because,
you know, you're playing me and I want to win fair and square. I saw Jong actually won last week.
Jong's a fantasy hockey god. A lot of people don't know that.
Yeah. He beat a dude from Chicago who's a huge Blackhawks fan, so.
Good.
I lost.
Huh?
Yeah.
I'm a loser.
That's all right, though. You can bounce back this week.
Yeah.
All you have to do is beat the team that scored the most points in the league.
No problem.
I got lucky, though. I had some players who played over their heads. Yeah. There's no way that... I mean, I love Austin Matthews, but there's no way he's going to keep putting up points at that rate as a rookie. And there's no way that Patrick Laine is going to keep throwing up hat tricks and stuff like that. So... we shall see.
All right, guys, I got to tell you about Allied Outdoor Solutions one more time. If you're looking to spend more time in your backyard, and who isn't with the weather like this? It's beautiful. It's time to get out there. You want to revitalize your outdoor living area with the custom style and quality you've come to expect from Allied Outdoor Solutions. Call the pros at Allied to get you ready. 713-465-0400. They can renovate your grayed out patio or fading pool deck with a carved stone overlay. And carved stone, what it does is give you a superior look of real stone on your existing surface. it just costs a lot less money than it would cost to tear everything out and start over and put down stone. It's trowel hand carved, custom colored for your home, so it looks great. It's twice as strong as concrete, and Allied stands behind carved stone with a 7-year warranty. They can help you on residential and commercial projects. They can help you hang on to some money too. They've got several monthly payment options, including 0% financing. Save yourself the hassle and expense of tearing everything out and starting over. Go with a carved stone overlay for the look and feel of real stone for less money from Allied Outdoor Solutions today. Stop by their showroom, I-10 in the Beltway, see what they can do for you, or check out the carved stone project's photo gallery at AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com. That's AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com, or call for a risk-free estimate. 713-465-0400 for Allied Outdoor Solutions.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
All right, guys, I've got to tell you about my computer career. And if you want a career with great income potential and job security, listen up. IT is a constant high growth sector. If you like working or playing with computers, a career in IT could be right for you. For career changers, there's only one place to check out: mycomputercareer.edu. There are a ton of computer jobs out there, particularly in Houston, one of the hottest job markets in the country. Companies hiring IT guys all over the city, but to get the jobs, you've got to have the skills and certification. And the place to go to get those skills, mycomputercareer.edu. It's more than just a school. They've got a complete career change program to help you get into the industry by partnering with hundreds of employers to hire their students. Most students start their first job in just a few months. You're attending class only twice a week, on campus or live online, so your learning fits into your life. At My Computer Career, you're in and out of school in less than a year. Financial aid's available, including the GI Bill. What are you waiting for? Go to mycomputercareer.edu now. Take the free career evaluation today and find out if an IT career is right for you. Mycomputercareer.edu. Take the free career evaluation. Tell them AJ with ESPN 97.5 sent you.
RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Download the ESPN 97.5 app, available for your iOS or Android device. Stream all your favorite shows live on the go or listen to them at your convenience with our on-demand podcast. Just search ESPN 97.5 in your app store and download today. Don't have an iPhone or an Android? You can stream us on any smart device at the all-new ESPN975.com. Before we get to the Dumbass Report, can I just very quickly tell you about a really cool story?
Absolutely.
I don't know, you probably aren't aware of this, but the LA Kings, almost all their goaltenders are dead. So they're having to call guys up who...
Did you get a call?
No, I didn't get a call, unfortunately. But close. But a kid named Jonah Imu, 20 years old... Put him over his head, basically, to play in the AHL, but they're desperate because they don't have anybody left. So guess who his emergency backup goalie was? The team's goalie coach, who's 46 years old. Also happens to be Jonah's dad, Dusty Imu.
Really?
So you had the first ever father-son goalie backup goalie. It was an emergency goalie. They were going to put the old man in unless they had no choice. Right. Kid got hurt or something. But
so he didn't get in?
The old man didn't, but he was officially the backup for his kid. In the 5-4 overtime loss to the Barracuda. So, just kind of a cute story. I don't know if that's ever
gotten in.
Yeah, that would have been kind of cool because then, you know, as a coach, if he sucked, all his players could say, why am I going to listen to you, man? You couldn't stop any goals. So, that's on it's on Barstool Sports and some other sites if y'all want to check it out. All right. Let's do the Dumbass Report.
All right. Let's start with Key West. A drunken tourist went to jail for bringing a handgun and a loaded magazine into a club, a strip club, which, by the way, he lost the loaded magazine inside the strip club. Did not have a chambered round or magazine inside, but police found the magazine filled with 15 rounds of 9mm ammunition. He has a concealed carry permit, but he told the police the gun belongs to his brother, and he had stashed it in the right front pocket of his khaki shorts because his brother lacks a permit. The staff at Teasers called police early Tuesday morning after a dancer found the magazine on the club's floor and brought it to another employee who asked Putnam if it was his. Meanwhile, a bouncer spotted part of the handgun in his pocket as the tourist sat next to the service bar. He was not sure how it ended up on the ground. Putnam responded by saying he thought it was a sex toy. and later told police he didn't really know what it was at first. He was at Teasers with his girlfriend, the brother, and another woman. He was jailed on a misdemeanor charge of carrying a concealed weapon with a permit inside a bar, a place that sells alcohol for consumption on premises. He was released within 5 hours on only $328 bond. That seems...
That's a very odd number, yeah.
But not wise, guys.
It shows you the difference between being in New York with a gun and being in Florida with a gun.
Yep, let's stay in Florida, though.
Okay.
Where a 32-year-old woman was arrested for DWI on Saturday after charges that she drove the wrong way on Interstate 4 and crashed into a barrier. Florida Highway Patrol sent an arrest report that it received about 13 calls to 911 about the driver who was going west on I-4 East. Trooper said when they approached the crash car, she got out of the sedan without shoes, and that when a trooper handed Salmon her shoes, she put them on the wrong feet. She was stumbling and staggering on her feet, did not know where she was or where she was driving to. She was placed in the back of a patrol car where she fell asleep. When a trooper woke her up and asked if she was okay, she slurred her words and said she was tired and wanted to go home. She refused a field sobriety and breathalyzer test. The state said Salmon's voluntarily left her position last year as an officer of the Division of Alcoholic Beverages and Tobacco. Troopers said they found multiple Florida driver's licenses in her purse, loaded guns, and handcuffs in her car. She was booked into Orange County Jail on charges of driving under the influence of drugs or alcohol involving a vehicle crash. Her bail, $500.
Jeez.
Man, they're getting away all night.
Wow.
A church in
Oregon. No wonder this keeps happening. They keep letting them out for almost no money.
Yeah. A church in Oregon came under fire in recent weeks for instituting a ban on fat people as part of a slew of mandatory guidelines to be on the congregation's worship team. They apologized for the ban on Saturday and begged forgiveness to anyone their rules may have offended. It's probably a bad idea to begin with. Oh, yeah. You want to be on the worship team? Nope. No fatties allowed. They say we want the worship team to look the best they can. Remember that the way we look is of utmost importance. No excessive weight was the original thing. It says there's been some media circulating about our worship team guidelines. Forgive us if we offended anyone. These guidelines have never been used to discriminate against anyone and never been enforced. So that makes it okay, I guess. But they say we are the first thing the congregation sees. People do judge by appearance. We never get a second chance to make that first impression.
Get in my belly!
That's right. And finally, police mistakenly bust out the car windows thinking that a child was stuck inside. Happens sometimes.
Yeah.
911 call. There's a concerned citizen. There's a child stuck in Jasmine Turner's back seat. Temperatures were in the mid-80s, so there was concern. Yeah. When police approached Turner... Which, you know, that's always an awkward conversation. Hey, you left your car, we busted the window out of your car because you left your kid in it. Turner said, that's weird because I don't have a kid. I don't know how that kid got into my car. She said that it would take her about 5 minutes to return to her car. Police could not wait that long and smashed the windows, only to find a wig on top of a pile of blankets. The damage left several hundred dollars in repairs. Repairs that Turner said she does not feel she is responsible for. I just want my window fixed and them to pay for it. Either being in a rental or whatever the case is, I can't take off work. I have bills to pay. Turner claimed the police told her it could not pay for the damages. So I'm guessing we're going to have a lawsuit ensue here. But yeah, that's always awkward.
Why wouldn't they just pay for it? It's their mistake.
You would think so, yeah.
Wouldn't the insurance cover that anyway?
Yeah, but I mean... Maybe at least pay your deductible something. You don't want your insurance costs going up.
Yeah. Well, of course, they've raised your insurance for everything.
That's true.
Did you see this this hand that they showed from the World Series of Poker between this British jerk named William Kassouf and Canadian Griffin Binger?
I did not.
John, will you pull that for tomorrow? Because it's really pretty awesome. We'll just tease that for tomorrow. It's on For the Win on... USAtoday.com. All right, that's going to wrap it up. Texans Broncos tonight. I want to thank John Lee. A+
Thank you, Fred. You did a fine job.
I get a D today. I really did do well. A+ for Hoffman. I want to thank Stanford Route for joining us. I want to thank everybody who tweeted, texted, took part in the show today, called. We will do it again tomorrow. Break this game down. Till then, stay sportsy, bitches. Oh,
no blood, there's no alibi. 'Cause I've drawn regret from the truth of a thousand lies. So let mercy come.
ESPN 97.5.